The February 10th, 2020, meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is hereby called to order. For the record, Trustee Carr is attending this meeting remotely via teleconference. I believe, don't we have to approve that?
Once we take the roll and establish.
Okay. Ms. Phillips, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Clay?
Present.
Trustee McDade?
Present.
Trustee Mobley Smith?
Present.
Trustee Snyder?
Present.
Trustee Zop?
Present.
Trustee Carr, voting by roll.
Present.
Okay, we have to, I need a motion to allow Trustee Carr is participating by phone. I need a motion to allow him to do that pursuant to the Open Meetings Act. Can I get a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, just say aye.
Aye.
All right, Trustee Carr, you're in.
Oh, so happy.
A quorum exists for the business of the board to begin. Ms. Phillips, will you certify that the notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Chair. The meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, and the Gwendolyn Brooks Library buildings.
All right. And now we're going to stand and sing the school song, Honor and Glory.
Here's to Chicago, ever green and white. Hail CSU, where we can reach the height. Proudly we raise all our voices to you, helping each other to make it through. Honor and glory, telling a story, keeping our mission so true. Honor and glory, we'll tell the story, lifting our voices to CSU. Hail CSU, where all our dreams come true. Meeting the challenge, making old things new. Onward and upward we proudly sing. All our devotion we gladly bring. Honor and glory, telling our story, keeping our mission so true. Honor and glory, we'll tell the story, lifting our voices to CSU. As we endeavor to achieve our goal, may we continue with a joyful soul, fondly availing our school's brave heart. With adoration we shall impart. Honor and glory, telling our story, keeping our mission so true. Honor and glory, we'll tell the story, lifting our voices to CSU.
All right, I need a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting. All approving, please say aye.
Aye.
All in favor, all opposed, nay? Okay. All in favor. President Scott, we're starting with your report.
Good afternoon, Chair Zop, Vice Chair McDade, Secretary Snyder, trustees, and the Chicago State community. Welcome everyone to the first board meeting of the 2020 calendar year. We know that 2019 was a remarkable year for Chicago State University, so that we have been taking our momentum of elevation all the way into 2020. I want to start by thanking our campus community for your continued commitment to CSU. Thank you for all that you do. I also want to take this time to speak directly to our amazing faculty. I had an opportunity to address the Faculty Senate last week through the invitation of its interim president, Dr. Patricia Steinhaus. And so I want to continue to share my commitment and support and respect for all that our faculty do for our students. To that point, we are aware that for the past 2 years, the CSU administration and the faculty and staff represented by UPI Local 4100 have been in negotiations for a new contract. I am pleased to share that as of Friday, both sides have reached a tentative agreement on a new contract. Woo-hoo. Both parties persevered and negotiated in good faith to agree to a contract that gives our hardworking faculty and staff a raise for the important work they do. I'd like to thank everyone involved in this process for their hard work and dedication to ensuring the brightest possible future for Chicago State University. That is why it's so important for our community to come together around a commitment to remaining in motion. Striving towards elevation makes up the core foundation of our new strategic plan, which was developed by a university committee made up of faculty, staff, and students. I want to highlight one of our strategic goals, Goal 3, which focuses on university culture, climate, and accountability. And this is where I need your support. We have to instill a stronger culture around commitment to work that we're doing every day. I recognize that for those of you who have been part of Chicago State, I recognize that for those of you who have been part of the CSU family before I arrived as president, it has not been easy. And there remains a sense of discord within the fabric of our university caused by a budget impasse and financial exigency. That's why I want to continue acknowledging the hard work that you all do and thank you for your continued dedication to our students and campus community. Throughout the difficult challenges that we face as a university, many of you who were here were steadfast in your commitment and support to CSU and its students. I empathize with you for the tough period that we had to go through, and I thank you. But now is the right time to reorganize ourselves around culture, climate, and accountability based on our strategic plan. That is why I have committed to continuing to invest in innovative academic programs and to bring greater support to not only our faculty, but our students in the classroom. For example, the College of Education recently submitted an application to the Call Me Mr. program based out of Clemson University. This program is designed to support colleges in their efforts to educate more minority male teachers. If granted, this program will support Chicago State with greater opportunities for leadership institutes and job placement assistance for our students in the College of Education. Chicago State has made the financial commitment as part of the application to sustain the program for students next year and beyond. We have to take advantage of these opportunities as we look to transform our institution. We will also offer a similar program to minority females. Without our amazing faculty, we would not be able to accomplish all that we have been able to do this past semester, closing out with our fall 2019 commencement. We had an inspiring commencement speaker in the Honorable Juliana Stratton, the Lieutenant Governor of the State of Illinois. We graduated 164 undergraduate and graduate students in majors such as psychology, business management, and computer science. We know that our graduates will go on into fulfilling careers, and we will continue to support them as alumni. Last year, we undertook a campaign to promote our faculty as experts to position CSU as the premier institution for thought leaders. I highlighted a few of those at our last board meeting, Dr. John Patterson and Dr. Kiela Bolden testifying as expert witnesses at a public hearing on gun violence. We also sponsored a weekly CSU commentator segment on WVON radio, where we featured a different faculty member on various topics, such as entrepreneurship by Scott Upshaw and Blacks in STEM field by Dr. Valerie Goss. We will continue to promote our faculty throughout this year by highlighting all their amazing accomplishments, such as publication and grants. We had an opportunity to welcome 37 students in our dual enrollment program that launched in fall 2019. We know that Chicago State is a community anchor for the Southeast Side, so we took the lead in preparing local high school students on what it means to take a college course, read a class syllabus, and navigate a college environment. Of the 37 students who enrolled, 94% of our dual enrollment students completed the fall semester course with a passing grade of C or higher. This is an amazing accomplishment for these students, many of whom were the first in their family to take a college class. These are opportunities that CSU is committed to providing our surrounding neighborhoods, so I want to thank our faculty who participated in our dual enrollment program. Dual enrollment is just one of many student success initiatives that we have taken this past year. And our university-wide shift, as we move toward our university-wide shift toward student success as the top priority, I'm proud to announce that we received an $150,000 grant from an anonymous foundation to jumpstart our academic advising redesign and training. The work we have been doing in student success has been validated so that we must now carry the work forward for our students. In December, I published an op-ed piece in Crane's Chicago Business where I advocated for Black student college attendance, retention, and graduation as a priority for every college campus and for Illinois. I shared some strategies that we have been working towards, such as recruitment of minority faculty to support an inclusive and competent culture. We all have a stake in increasing our graduates of color, but we cannot do it without financial investment. That's why my administration has supported our students with strategies and direct investment of financial support. In just fall 2019, our students received $3 million in federal Pell grants, $2.1 million in Illinois MAMP grants, and $3.6 million in institutional aid directly from Chicago State in the form of our own scholarships, waivers, and book vouchers. We will continue to support our students with robust financial support as we advocate for additional support in Springfield to serve all of our students. All of your work elevating Chicago State has been noticed across Chicago and Illinois. Last month, I hosted a reception at the University Residence for the Illinois Legislative and City Automatic Black Caucuses. And we were joined by Vice Chair McDade and Mayor Lightfoot as featured speakers. Every guest recognized the important contributions of CSU to our city and state, and we will continue to build out on their support. Finally, led by our Director of Marketing and Media Relations, Sabrina Land, CSU published an amazing annual report. It highlights our major accomplishments as we embark on new partnerships and embraced new experiences in 2019. We mailed out close to 1,000 hard copies to our external partners and have made the annual report available digitally online, and the positive feedback has been remarkable. We will continue to carry this momentum forward. I'm proud to lead Chicago State University with your support. We have a lot more to come in 2020 because together, Chicago State University is unstoppable. Thank you. And to continue with our theme of unstoppable, I have an introduction. Over the past year, Chicago State, its administrative team, and students and members of our staff and faculty have been working closely with one of the premier and finest advertising and PR firms in the country. This firm, known as the Publitz Group, has offered its services to Chicago State University on a pro bono basis. I am now pleased, very pleased, to introduce the Publicist team leading the charge for work on behalf of Chicago State. They are here today to share an update with you on where we are on rebranding Chicago State University. After the meetings with students, staff, faculty, and alumni, the team has been able to prepare what we believe to be a new brand identity that represents the essence of Chicago State University. So would the team please come forward?
The holdup is maybe we need to go forward and come back to this. Thank you.
God love technology.
Well, we might, if it's going to talk bad, I have all the positive stuff.
Because I think it's very important that everybody get a chance to see what you've prepared, and they're having some problems with the projectors. We're going to move you over here, and then we're going to go on with the rest of them, get some of the other business done, so because I do want people to be able to see what you've done. Okay. Trustee Mobley-Smith, can we do the Academic and Student Affairs report, please?
Absolutely. I call Dr. Romke to give the academic and student affairs update.
Good afternoon, Chair Zop and all the trustee members.
Good afternoon, Dr. Roundtree.
Good afternoon. You find in your report a very comprehensive list of activities that the students and faculty have been involved with during the, since our last meeting. But I'd like to introduce a couple of things that have occurred since that report was submitted. The first is I'd like to introduce two new members of our academic team. And I'll ask them to stand. Dr. Mary Daniels, she is our new Associate Provost for Innovation and Strategic Initiatives. And Dr. Reginald Motley, he is our new Dean of Student Affairs.
Welcome.
So we'd like to welcome them both. They both started on January 2nd and are in full swing. I would like to update you on the Student of Government Association and the standing of the student elections. With regrets, we were unable to run the election for the student trustees prior to this meeting. We have formulated the Board of Elections to run the elections, and we have developed the election packet and the process. However, with the change of leadership, at the start of the year, we were unable to initiate the election process that was inclusive to the entire campus. Dr. Motley, our new Dean of Student Affairs, is working with the faculty advisor and the Board of Election and has established a timeline for the application in the elections. The process was sent out to the entire student body, and there will be posters and flyers throughout the campus to ensure that this is an inclusive campus-wide process. The new timetable is set to identify a board member by March 2nd. In addition, the Constitution has been reviewed by the National Student Government Association, and we received that at the end of January. And our next step is to have a town hall meeting with the student body to get student input before we move forward on the new constitution for the Student Government Association. I also wanted to let you know that there's been an important development affecting our College of Pharmacy. We were recently notified that based on the report submitted by the College of Pharmacy in November, the College of Pharmacy has received the status of accredited with probation by the accrediting body, which is known as the Accreditation Council for Pharmacy Education. This requires that the college address the standards of concern, which involve and also involves a visit from the accreditors during the 2020 spring semester. The accreditors made this decision based on continued not partial non-compliance with three standards in the area of assessment, educational outcomes, and curriculum. We accept the accreditors' decision but believe that the current initiatives within the college can address these concerns. Our College of Pharmacy and the success of the students are extremely important to our university, and we are taking this issue very seriously. The president and I are confident in the leadership of the college and the faculty to address the concerns of the accreditors. We are developing an action plan to address the accreditors' concern and to remove the current designation. And I want to emphasize that the college remains accredited, and we will be submitting the necessary follow-up reports and host the focus visit as prescribed by the accreditors. We are notifying everyone in the program, and we will keep you updated on its progress. I also want to alert you to a change in the College of Education. After significant discussion with the College of Education's administration, faculty, and stakeholders, the College of Education has decided to withdraw from the Council for Accreditation of Educators Preparation Accreditation System. That's their teacher licensure program accreditation. The current system of CAPE, which is known for, replaced the previous NCATE system and has made significant changes in the requirements for teacher licensure, such as a progressive increase in the ACT and SAT scores and a rigid focus on standardized testing. With CSU's success in leading the legislation in the state of Illinois to remove the requirements for the basic skills test, which hindered individuals from completing teacher licensure programs, and the State Board of Education's not requiring CAPE accreditation, the issue of the role of accreditation in promoting success and access became a concern to our college. CSU is not alone in this concern, as over 135 colleges and universities have withdrawn from this process, including such large institutions as Georgia State University, Florida State University, and Syracuse University. And this trend is moving through Illinois, as we have been joined by Western University and Roosevelt in this withdrawal process. The college, faculty, and dean are working diligently at this time to set in place measures for student progression and outcomes in order for us to assure that we maintain a quality program. However, we believe this will allow the College of Education to address the teacher shortage in our state, as well as address the issues of access for students of color into the teaching profession. Lastly, I'd just like to add to the president's comments about dual enrollment. We have brought in another group this spring semester. We currently have 23 students on campus enrolled in dual enrollment. We also held a breakfast for the counselors in January to help them work through the process of how to enroll their students if they were interested. At this point, we are moving forward on creating a calendar that we will distribute with to our neighborhood schools regarding the entire offerings for the next academic year, as CPS is currently planning their student schedules now for next year. In addition, we have spoken to two high schools who are interested in offering dual enrollment opportunities to their academic center students. These are students who enter in the seventh and eighth grade and are advanced in their progression through high school. So by the time they reach their junior and senior year, they are ready to pursue college level courses. And these two schools have asked us to set up pathways to work with them to move these students into early college experience. So we do believe that it is going to be helpful in increasing student college attainment among the high schools in our neighborhood. And lastly, to continue to build on the program, we have increased our educational efforts for the parents that are involved in dual enrollment. We have started workshops and orientations for them, one, to understand the process and the requirements of the courses their students have enrolled in, but also to discuss financial aid literacy and the demands of college. So we feel that this is going to be a true success. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Roundtree. Before I ask my fellow trustees if they have any comments or questions, I just wanted to share that on Friday we had a fairly detailed discussion, the WE meaning the Academic and Student Affairs Committee, to discuss the issues that Dr. Roundtree brought up today, in particular the College of Pharmacy and the College of Education, and in talking about the criticality of messaging, in particular around the accredited but placed on probation status for the College of Pharmacy. If you could, to just share a little bit about what that messaging may look like or what has happened at this point to move that process ahead. What are your thoughts in terms of the strategies around those things? Particularly, you mentioned the students and faculty in particular as well, our practice partners, to try and prevent chaos. I'll just use that word.
Yes, we have our, the faculty and students have been made aware of the report and its status. We've also tried to make some initial clarifications, but a meeting is scheduled with the faculty as well as the students, town hall, to answer all of their questions about accreditation and what does that mean. We are also planning to reach out to the college's advisory boards as well as their practice partners to explain that next step and our plans to address it. Our dean is currently out of town. However, he is now has met with the executive director of the accrediting body to get a sense of the next steps, as well as we are pursuing a consultant in order to assist us with some of the curriculum design issues that they've asked us to address. So we do feel that we have a starting point to start initial action plans. We also, the president and I, will be attending the meetings with the faculty and the students to assure them that they have the full support of the university while we go through this process. And we will be, there is a meeting in June, and myself and the president or one of us will be attending that meeting to ensure the accreditors that they have the full university support.
Do any trustees have any comments or suggestions, questions, et cetera?
Is that a question, Dr. Roundtree? What's the period of probation? Is there a finite period in terms of months or years in this probation period?
There's usually about 2 years. However, they want to come back this semester during this meeting, and then we have to attend the board meeting in June for the next steps. But you usually receive 2 years to work on your identified problems. I would like to say, though, pharmacy has been being monitored, and we went from 15 standards that were of question down to 3. So I think our initiatives and our changes, our action plans, are moving in the right direction.
I have a couple questions. I just want to go back to the School of Education coming out of the accrediting body. Mm-hmm. What are the metrics? You don't think them to me today, but can you come back next time you come to the board meeting and just tell us how it is you're going to be measuring mm-hmm. this College of Education to ensure what are the standards that we're going to self-measure by mm-hmm. so we know what they are, and then we would want you to be prepared to report on that on an annual basis.
Okay.
And then I had a couple of questions from the written report that you submitted. Uh-huh. One was we have a number of research grants that we've received, that faculty members have received. I'm just wondering, is there over $1 million, which is terrific, and congratulations to the faculty. My question is, are there goals for that? Is there a target? How do we track those grants? Is this exceptional? I mean, it's great, but is it an exceptional semester? Or how are we looking at what our objectives are when it comes to research grants?
As a university, our overall objective, and I can also ask our grants vice president to speak on it, but our goal is to increase the number of grants. $1 million in the last semester is great, and we're trying to move systematically. Each grant has its own objectives and requirements, and it has to be well measured, and there's typically 2 to 3 reports during the grant period depending on the length of the grant. If it's 1 year, it's possibly two reports, but then there's one each year if the grant is multi-year to ensure that it meets the objectives. So yeah, each one has...
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but when I meant goals, I meant our university goals in terms of, given the size of the faculty, we expect each department, you know, we're striving to have each department have X number of grants, we're striving for a total number of research grants and X number. Do we have those kinds of objectives?
We've set previously the VP for Grants and Research did provide a strategic plan that had a dollar amount and grant production for the next 5 years. We're asking to have it realigned with the new strategic plan, but he can share more of that if you'd like more of those details.
Yeah, what I'm trying to understand is that, like, is that, are we happy with that? Is that, are we
always
trying
happy
to do better? Yeah, I mean, we're always happy to get a grant, but is that, should we be doing better? I have no standard by which to assess whether that's good, bad, or, I mean, it's better than none, but is there more we can be doing or we're trying to do?
Relative to schools of our size, we do very well with grants. A normal school, a typical school would have 3 to 4 million. Mm-hmm. Comprehensive regional our size, we're up around 6 million a year in federal funds. Our goal is to get to around 15 million within 5 or 6 years.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to know. And then lastly, on the graduate program, it's a similar question. So we reported out about, we had 200 students apply, we admitted 120, we accept 85 registered. Again, it's a similar question around goals. Is that good? Is that, are we happy with that? Are we, is it, was it what we would targeted? Is it less than what we targeted? What are we trying to do with the graduate program?
We are trying to increase the enrollment in the various graduate programs. This year, each graduate program will give us a specific capacity number. We saw a significant increase in our clinical mental health, and the new MBA program is assisting in raising those numbers. But this year, as part of that strategic plan, we are going to have each program set numerical goals and based on their capacity.
Okay, and then we'll get an assessment of where we are based on
yes
capacity. Okay, mm-hmm, perfect. I don't have any more questions. Do any of the other trustees have questions? Thank you, Dr. Roundtree. Dr. Mobley-Smith?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Roundtree. I'm now going to call Dr. Eggleston-Williams to give the enrollment management update.
And thank you, Dr. Canis. Appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Chairman and trustees. You received the enrollment management update, just some highlights from that report and a few additional items. Our spring 2020 headcount is up by 1% compared to our last spring term of 2019. It's equivalent to about 20. And the information you received was 26 students. It's actually equivalent to 23 students to date. We were up about 8 students in terms of new admits for the spring term. President reported on our degrees that were conferred for fall 2019, which was 164 degrees. We are now focusing on our fall 2020 admissions applications and completions. We have about 74% of our current applications are still incomplete, and so that's what we're working on. But we are happy to report that our CRM will be open tomorrow and available for students to apply directly to the CRM. So we did fix the issues that were related to the application submissions through the CRM. Marketing assisted us in completing our open house registration website landing page, so that is now active and up. We have a number of special recruitment events that are occurring. I think in your update, our STEM and Health Professions Expo was initially in January, but it was moved to the first week of February, so that should have been moved under the February timeline. We did add another special event in collaboration with the College of Arts and Sciences called Calumet in My Backyard, which will occur March 25th, 2020. And this is a science summit that CSU will be hosting 300 juniors and seniors in the Chicago area that are in relation to a special program that it's sponsored by the Field Museum of Science and Industry. And they are in partnership with CPS and two other agencies. So we'll be hosting that event. So that is the current update for enrollment management. Our focus really is to get our completions for 2020 applications and our target of our 800 new students for undergraduate, on the undergraduate side.
800 admitted or?
800 admitted and enrolled students for the undergraduate side.
That's new students, not transfers.
Well, transfer new students. So new students would include anyone that hasn't attended the university. It could be a first-time freshman and the transfer group. Okay.
Trustees, are there any questions or comments? Additional questions? Thank you, Dr. Eggleston-Williams.
Thank you.
This ends the Academic and Student Affairs report.
Okay, it looks like our technical difficulties have been resolved, so we welcome back the team from Publicis and ask you to come back up.
When Z. Scott became president of Chicago State University, its world shifted. She noted she came with a pressing and profound desire to propel the institution into a position in which it could thrive. The consortium you see on the screen reflects the three organizations that came together in this effort, donating nearly $500,000 in dollars and resources to date. Leo Burnett, the storied advertising agency, Spark Foundry, Global Media Planning and Buying Entity, and Russell Williams Group, which is Strategic Development and Alignment Consultancy. This journey, as President Scott has already said, has been informed by the president, the core team, and her core team, as well as university stakeholders, including students. It also includes dozens of CSU publications that have been analyzed. Today, you will see how this journey is unfolding. We'll be sharing the resulting brand campaign and what's coming next. Next slide. President Z's ambition was clear and urgent. Though it survived through several years of obstacles, CSU and its constituents were bruised. Part one of her ambition is grounded in the saying, down but not out. CSU needed to wrangle identity thieves within and outside the organization and reclaim its identity, one that had been misshapen by circumstance over time. Part two of her ambition can be guided by Lift Every Voice and Sing. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. President Scott has brought hope, reinvigorating CSU's voice. At the onset of the journey, we commune with the president and her leadership team. We needed to remove concerns and fears and restore hope and belief. Together, we aligned around a positioning rooted in power and pride. The CSU community continues to reach new heights, proudly propelling diverse, undertapped ambition into sought-after world-class leadership. This recent history, the journey we are on now, sets the foundation for what's to come.
And before we dive in to what's to come, it's important for us to recognize the recent history that the institution has been through, the constant turbulence, whether it be from enrollment droughts or budget issues, what have you. It's really left the school's reputation and spirit at a standstill, at inertia, if you will. But if you look at CSU as this unstoppable force that propels students to challenge the challenge, that the challenge that a 28-year-old student might be having that comes to this institution to, that has a full-time job or also has a full-time family, the challenge that a person of color, a student that would experience in academia or in the professional arena at large. It comes down to that this institution is an institution that creates the momentum to power the relentless pursuit of growth. And that's essentially what this institution does by creating momentum. So to the next slide, we've got where we want to shift from. We want to shift from being victims of the system to being victors of progress, from being silent to being unapologetic, to being just average, to being a vital necessity of education, and to being static, to being transformative.
So, much like the strategic background and research we did, we also did some visual background and research to try to assess where Chicago State University is and where it needs to go. And we took a long look at your assets and the things that we're seeing around campus. We did campus tours, we did interviews, and we did some gut checks among our team and yours to understand where we really needed to focus on. And in doing that, we saw some things. If you go to the next slide. I'm not sure if you all see these things as you're walking around campus like we did, but it was striking to see the evolution of what we know to be the centerpiece of your identity system, the tree. We know that it's been around for quite a while. We see this in 1867, actually before the Chicago Fire, we see this, which is interesting how rooted in history that icon is. And we see this going towards a more modern depiction of a tree, even in its third stage being modernized into a series of triangles to try to represent a tree or upward growth, perhaps maybe a bit too modern, and then in some decision to revert back to the original tree. And so when we look at this as analysts of your brand, we think, the tree's probably pretty special, and we challenged ourselves to look at other things beside the tree. But if you think about it, the tree has everything that we need. The tree shows growth, obviously. The tree shows roots. The tree also, especially when you plant it, goes upward and goes forward. And I mean, it's not it's not unclear to understand that the tree looks like something that gives us energy and knowledge, oxygen, fuels our brains, makes us human. And we are introducing this new Chicago State University logo that has all of those things in there. It's a tree. It's a book. It's the beginning of a story or a new chapter. And the tree really looks upward in a more active way. And we think for this relentless pursuit of growth and to create momentum and to really live into our purpose, we need to do this. We need to convert that sedentary, passive action of living into moving forward. So that depicts that in this new logo. And we love the idea of putting 1867 on the logo because of your deep history and how lovely it is that you've been around for so long. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see that when we enact that brand on the front of your building and introduce some new materials like wood, and I see you've lovingly adapted the wood inside your structure today, we start to see a different feeling on campus. We start to see and feel life and the idea of warmness and humanity. The flagpole banners that you see up and down, I think it's 95th, we're going to still keep those fairly on brand, but we're going to introduce a couple different shades of green. So in the winter months, you're seeing the green move down 95th, and you're seeing that very historic iconography and the Chicago State typography just step and repeated. And it feels more like an academic institution. It will It will signal change, but change towards a priority towards academia. And then if you see the next page here, what we've also known in our hearts is that alongside that that crest or that seal, a group of students and a bunch of people in your community also need an active voice. And so we sort of look at the tree and the seal sort of like the back of the shop or the academic part of your brand, and this logo as an active call to action, the Chicago State, and being able to really clearly read that go inside the U. And so we're very interested in the mixing of those two to really fuse together the community that you live in, the pursuit towards knowledge, and also it's fun to go to school and it's fun to be part of a community. So if you go to the next page, you'll see we think that these things go together quite seamlessly, that Chicago State U could be more like a headline that you would read. And it's a call to action to be part of it. The Chicago State University seal is on everything as almost like a stamp of legitimacy, of passion to go forward. Then if you go to the next page, we've tried this in a lot of different media. You'll see things every, this is some internal documents for you, brochureware. We're using very active words like potential in motion. Things are always moving for you because we're creating momentum. And then if you go to the next page, you'll see we can even be very quiet and very prestigious looking with this brand. The green that we're using is a version of your green. We're also introducing a gold color, which we think will give your materials an air of sophistication and legitimacy that we think that you deserve and need. And we're keeping things very clean and legible on the other side because we know you'll be giving out these cards to so many different people and they'll need to find your contact information quickly. Then if you go to the next slide, we have lapel pins where we have a seal where you can see the actual book tree enacted because we know that, you know, we could wear these things and really embody our community every day. These things can be part of our wardrobe choice to exemplify the school. And then if you go to the next page, you'll see how even stationery looks beautiful. We're introducing that other lighter green in certain instances. So, you know, we're being fresh and vibrant with the brand and not so static, like only relying on one color. And then if you look at the next page, and, you know, we are going to have some fun with it. These are just two examples of some T-shirts that we've designed. One says 1867, loud and proud, and the other says Chicago State, very energetic. And we really want to put our brand forward in a modern way so people feel proud to wear it. And people will be curious to see your students on the street. What is that? How can I get one? And that culturally will be a little bit better than just only relying on your sports teams to move forward. We think that you could also rely on your brand to move forward. Then the next page, you know, we made these bags. We know it's crazy to have a bag. We have so many other things to do, but we're trying these things on a lot of different materials to see if they work. And when you make those, I will carry them. And then the next page, we have the ability to move forward with this quite quickly, and Renette is going to tell you all about our plan.
Okay, so in the current, what you've seen is a commitment to relooking and refreshing the brand positioning, the brand strategy. The team has brought wonderfully designed work through the Spark organization where ET is. There's a commitment to bringing a strategic media approach as well as pro bono media dollars to help support this campaign as CSU rolls it out. But as you can see by the chart, we're hoping that this partnership can extend beyond Pure Play brand work into a partnership where those of us at Publicis Group can help build student capability. And so one of the things, and obviously this would be working with President Scott and her administration and with full board knowledge, is the potential to investigate a student-run advertising agency. And as part of that, taking students from the advertising and marketing programs here at CSU and bringing them down to 35 West Wacker, which is where we live, to be in partnership with Elisa and the other creatives. And they now, as their own agency, can extend the use of these materials and learn how to design themselves and learn how to create and learn how to do that work in partnership with us. That could lead to apprenticeships and internships. And then to be really bold and dreamy, we would love to investigate having a Center for Creativity here at Chicago State University that's far down the road, that could have a deeper academic commitment, but one that would make Chicago and Chicago State a repository for talent that wants to go into the advertising and marketing and creative fields, and in partnership with us and then other entities that we could bring in from the city, we think that we could put a lot of momentum and partnership into it. With that, this is our last slide. We thank you for your time and attention today.
Thank you.
Wait, come back.
Uh-oh.
Come back.
Okay, Chair.
First of all, it's obvious that you did a number of things, including spend a lot of time with our students and our faculty and our stakeholders, and in many ways you got us, and we're grateful for that. I just want to know if any of my colleagues have any questions or comments or... I just want to say thank you. It's beautiful work, and we're very grateful for your time and your commitment.
I would just echo that, and it's refreshing, you know, progress. The whole theme of moving forward, I think, captures the essence of what is happening at the university. So, and branding really does matter.
Thank you. First of all, I want to also thank the team for their work and diligence. This work, you know, started in conversations with ET before I even came on the scene at Chicago State, and talking with her through what it meant to take on a new role as a president and how brand could impact the university as a whole. And I just want to thank you, ET, for engaging Brenda, who's there in the audience, who led us through a day-long exercise. Those of you who were there, and I don't want to thank our campus for engaging around this, I think, unique opportunity for shared governance. You all have just been amazing. I heard the dollar that was applied to this project. We could never have afforded it, and so I think, you know, we're looking at some of the top talent in the world in advertising, so I really appreciate what each of you has done and contributed in terms of your time and energy and talent. We can't say thank you enough, but when you see the work being displayed on the street and in t-shirts and in brand wear, you will know that the work matters. So I want to give you all, if we could just stand and give them a hand.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So now we have to do the anticlimactic report of the Finance and Audit Committee. I turn it over to Trustee Schneider. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, I'm presiding. Never mind. So actually, Larry, do you have a financial report? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair, President, and fellow board members. First thing I'd like to say is you are absolutely correct. Generally speaking, the accounting and finance is anticlimactic even without a report like that. So
that's a good thing, though.
But we'll do the best that we can. In your report that you will have received, it basically consisted of two items. One was the quarterly financial report comparing year on year for the 6 months ended in December. And the second part would have been some draft documents related to our financial audit report. The purpose of the draft documents was that at that point in time when you received your packages, the final audit report was not released by the Auditor General. Since that time, it has been released. It is on the Auditor General website. We received a clean opinion. It included one financial finding of which we have already addressed, and the financial implications were corrected before the financial statements were completed. So at this point in time, I'll entertain any questions on either the audit report, the finding, or the financial statement as of December.
Are there any questions? All right. Thank you, Larry.
You are welcome.
Darius Hillman is here, the executive director of the foundation, to present the, or he was here.
Saw Dean Collins just stepped out get him.
So just give us a minute. You didn't time that great, did you?
I think I, Chair Zopp, President Scott, trustees, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's rare that I think I can do this, but I might be able to at least come close to Leo Burnett's fabulous presentation.
All right,
yes, here we go. By talking about what the foundation is up to, and I want to begin that with thank yous. I want to thank, and again, all of the work is rooted in our strategic plan. Trustee Clay, thank you for coming in and visiting, but also giving up your time and completing an alumni spotlight. To Trustee McDade, and we'll come back, to Vice Chair McDade, or as her team, who I've been speaking with for the last week, calls her chief, or as I called her last week when she came to campus and sat down and shared a personal narrative about her time here. And as we listen and juxtapose between this Chicago State alum who I'd hold up against an alum from U of M or Notre Dame, but the chief of education for the third largest school district in the country, school system in the country, that's us. This is where I'm going to win. I'd like to show we just got it, not even, just got it done today. I know. Oh, I'm sorry, Vice Chair McDade, brace yourself. This is why the foundation is having such a fantastic time, why the president and the provost and Kim and I had the most fantastic conversation with Crown Family Philanthropies today, where it is not just about student success, but when the president said to them in the room, we want you to fund, but it doesn't matter. This work has to happen. We have no choice. And they went, okay, let's talk about this and other things. Let's talk about next steps. In addition to that, let us, along with the Joyce Foundation, who's about to move us to their full board for $150,000 in support, let's call together a group of all of our other foundation partners and let the president stand there and present this clear, compelling, beautiful in its simplicity vision for recruitment, persistence, graduation, and career. Three foundations are coming together to host a breakfast so we can bring in all the other foundation partners to talk about this work. They believe that much in it. This is why. Give that word. This is why. Yes.
I'm really excited about my journey at Chicago State University because not only did I have the opportunity to earn a degree in a field that I love very deeply and passionate about, it also provided the level of challenge that I needed to be able to be successful in the classroom, you know, being able to understand some of the challenges that teachers are faced. While, you know, it was rigorous coursework, the methods courses were very challenging for the mind, but it also was for the spirit, because what I took away from Chicago State was not only do we have to ensure that students are prepared academically, we also have to recognize them as people first and be able to educate the whole child. And I was so grateful that in my courses at Chicago State, there was a focus on the whole child. For me, being a first-generation graduate meant so much for my family because I'm also a first-generation American. Both my mother and my father are immigrants from Belize City, Belize, and they immigrated to the United States really looking for a better way of life, and that they felt really would come by way of education. So for me, my family always strongly believed that education would be the way for their children to break the cycle of generational poverty. So having a degree from Chicago State and being able to realize my goal of being a teacher meant so much, not only for me, but for my family and everything that they dreamed of for their children coming to this country. I had so many memorable experiences at Chicago State. You know, Dr. Poussaint, she was a stickler for perfection in the craft. And she wanted to make sure that we took it seriously because she knew that, you know, reading was the foundation for everything that we would do in the classroom. We all didn't necessarily take this as seriously as we should have, this presentation. And I think groups kind of thought that we would be able to just go through the motions. Well, the first group that went was eaten alive by the end of the presentation. And so everybody at that point was on notice. I learned a lot, and it was that moment where I had an opportunity to demonstrate my understanding of delivery and the importance of instructional strategies and how we meet the needs of all students across different modalities. It was that moment in Dr. Poussaint's class that I realized that, you know, this is something that is life-changing, and we have to approach it with a level of urgency in how we prepare for our young people. And so I really learned deeply the importance of preparation from that course. It has truly been a journey that I have been found to be purposeful and fulfilling. But I really don't believe that I would have experienced the kind of success that I have as an educator in this district if it had not been for the foundation that I got as learning to become an educator from Chicago State University. I really felt that Chicago State prepared me to be successful, both in the classroom and as an educator. And that was the foundation for the work that I've done. And so I'm really grateful for that experience.
You win.
When you have a new logo, when you have a new brand, it'll be perfect.
And here's what's interesting about that, because this is such a partnership, we've already, because we knew what was happening, that was created in the way that we will swap it out. Because these stories, so it's already set up where we know where the new brand, once everything's approved, is coming in. But we know that this is a case of the plane in flight. So we're telling the story now because that directly impacts every time, and you will premiere on Thursday across our platforms. You don't seem excited, Vice Chair.
I'm excited.
Okay, good. That seemed a little pensive. No. But that's our story. We spent the day having these conversations, and we heard over and over again, and that's the story we're telling to the funding community, and that is the story that's resonating. This is home. This is the place where people wrap their arms around you. This is the place where you walk in and we go, you are not alone. And as the president said today to Crown, we have 152 years of history. What we are doing now is moving from anecdotal to intentional, to direct, to clear, to fidelity. I'm telling you in the room today, and Provost Roundtree will agree, the funding partner, you could feel them leaning in, going, this is important, this is meaningful, this feels like it's sticky. Mm-hmm. So those are the meetings we're having consistently. It has been a thrill to partner with the president. Sometimes in the room, I find that I'm almost in a Baptist church where I go, okay. But that's the energy that she's bringing to the room. So it has been a joy to work with her, but with each of you, we're not an island. We're a small, scrappy staff, and you're helping to make this happen. My final thank you of many thank yous is to the trustee on the phone. Trustee Carr, thank you for your, without having to think hard, transformational gift this week, dollars that is going to help us implement student success programming over the summer. And all of those programs are designed to convert our students into first-year students here or at another university, but preferably here. The final piece I want to go over, so as not to go over time, as we turned into January, we are full speed ahead for the First Gen Scholarship Gala. You are going to have a packet of information because we want to make this as easy, continue to make this easy to continue to engage with us. But I am pleased to announce a few things with first-time events. Those initial lines in the sand are everything. We have presenting sponsor. We have two presenting sponsors. Hyatt Hotels Corporation and Greeley and Hanson are both confirmed presenting sponsors. We have two gala co-chairs, Tyrone Studemeyer, the VP of Diversity and Inclusion at Hyatt, and John Roback, the new CEO of Greeley and Hanson. We have fantastic honorary co-chairs, including Chair Zopp and her husband Bill Zopp, and the Chicago State Foundation's board chair, Angelique David, and her husband, Jerry Richmond. Here is the part that we are incredibly excited about. We will, this year, with the university, present the inaugural Cougar Servant Leadership Awards. This year's first three honorees are Chicago State University alum and current CEO of Chicago Public Schools, Dr. Janice Jackson, former president of the Illinois State Senate, Emil Jones, Jr., and Bronzeville Children's Museum founder and CEO, Peggy Montez. This is going to be a fantastic evening. We are laser focused on the financial goal and the scholarships that those will create. So I just want to say to you, I say every day on my social media.
Confirmation today on our speaker.
Please announce. I am pleased to also add to that list, our signature keynote address will be given by none other than Mayor Lori Lightfoot, confirmed. So, yes.
I feel like you have, it was so close.
But I will say this, on my social media pages, because branding does matter, I've now taken to numbering reason number 50, reason number 80, why I love my job. I think I'm at about reason number 8,250. There is true momentum here. We're feeling it in the room. The work happening on campus is spreading out across the community. Part of the foundation's role is to really bring those partnerships here. Very quickly, we are partnering with the Chicago Urban League on behalf of the university to bring a community fair here that will focus on the census. We are co-hosting with the National Kidney Foundation World Kidney Day here on campus. Health screenings, cooking fairs happening here on campus. We are tomorrow co-hosting with Hyatt Hotels Corporation, the university, and our friends at Reed Smith, a special evening with gospel legend Richard Smallwood, where he will be in an intimate conversation talking about issues that are important to the community for which we are an anchor, and that is faith, career, and the stigma of black mental health, of mental health in the black community. So we have 200, as of an hour ago, 230 folks or so have RSVP'd to be on this campus tomorrow. So that is it from the foundation. Thank you all very much. We are so grateful to be a part of this, and we're so grateful to partner with the president and the team. It's a fast ride, but it is a joy every day because we're seeing, we're actually all very clear on the why we're doing this, and that makes the work easier. It makes the work clear. Thank you.
Thanks, Darius. Any questions for Darius? Thank you. Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh, All right, the board, it's now time for public and employee comments. The board will not hear presentations or entertain questions on the following topics.
Oh, really?
Issues under negotiation as part of the university's collective bargaining process, statements concerning the private activities, lifestyles, or beliefs of individuals employed by or associated with the university, grievances of individual students or employees, or any personnel matters. Comments will be limited to 2 minutes, and we'll call speakers who've signed up prior to the meeting. Ms. Phillips, please call those who've signed up for public comments.
Frank Horton.
He was here.
He was here.
Is he out in the hall? Okay, I don't see him. He was here, but
he was the only person who signed up.
Okay. Are there any here who didn't sign up who'd like to speak? All right. Then I request a motion to convene into executive session.
So move.
We have a second?
Second.
All in favor of convening into executive session, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The meeting will reopen to the public at the end of the executive session. Thank you. We're adjourned.